monitoring. Grab all your Bibles, let's hold them up and say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Ready? This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. I think you mean it, too. If you remain standing with me, please turn in your Bible to Matthew 13. By the way, some of you that have been on the webpage for cbcmadison.org, the sermons are being posted on there. They are, however, the edited version. Matthew 13, starting with verse 9, Jesus just completed speaking the parable of the soils, and he says in verse 9, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And the disciples came to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and he said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. And he will have abundance of whomever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of the people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Verse 16. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you would always, you do stand behind your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message this morning is "To Know or Not to Know." That is the title. In verse 11 of the text that we read, it says, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." He was talking to his disciples, but he was also talking to you. It was given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if someone had just tuned into the radio or picked this up on the internet, they might think when I'm talking about it's given to you to know the mysteries that we think we're a special club here at Calvary, but I'm not talking about Calvary, I'm talking about worldwide Christians, Christians universally. However, speaking of Christians, that Christianity, according to the scripture, is defined very narrowly. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it said, "Narrow is the gate." Narrow is the gate. Some people have defined Christianity quite broadly, so that almost anybody can fit in that category, but the Bible doesn't define it quite so broadly. Becoming a Christian is believing, receiving, repenting, restarting. Even this morning on the radio, I was hearing them talk about, one of the pastor on the radio before myself was talking about how that if you don't have a change of heart, then it didn't happen. We'll run through some of this real basic stuff. These are the things that become illuminated to you as a Christian when you receive Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, and we'll see that scripture in a little bit. Your spiritual eyes are opened. Now, when we think about the difference between the spiritual world and the physical world, you have to stop and think that the physical world sometimes isn't all that great. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's not that great. It can be rough go. It can be short. It can seem long to us, but really, in the context of eternity, our lives are really, really very short. That's what the Bible says. We're just grass that withers and blows away. And you know that it could be even shorter if something happens to you, your heart stops beating, or whatever it is. But God has a whole other realm, a spiritual realm. We live in the physical realm, but when we become a Christian, we become connected to a realm far beyond the realm that we see and touch around us. As we read the Bible, we discover that the spiritual realm is actually more important than the physical realm. And the apostle said that if you if you lose an eye, it's better than losing your soul. If you lose a hand, paraphrase, it's better than losing your soul. Kind of putting into context, the thing that we put so much value in is the physical life around us, but God is trying to tell us that the spiritual life is far more important than what goes on in our physical life. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, you are still affected by the spiritual realm several ways. One is evil in the spiritual realm, which we're affected by. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is that you're going to live forever whether or not you receive Christ. The difference is where you're going to live forever. Right? So whether a person wants to ignore God, ignore salvation, and just blow it off, it's still going to get you in the end. So the best thing to do, and of course, according to Scriptures, is to receive Christ. And then know that your eternal life is secure as you continue to walk in His footsteps. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. I have several scriptures we're going to shoot through here. But as many as received Him, speaking of Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who was born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we see that supernatural, natural connection there, and this connection with the supernatural. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Now we're all children of God when we're born because God created us. He put us together. He engineered us. We talked about that a little bit last week. But when we allow Christ's sacrifice for us to wipe away the separation between us and God as far as eternity is concerned, we become His adopted children. I mean, we're talking for eternity. So there's something supernatural that takes place when we receive Christ. We have DNA of God, and that begins to flow between us. Teresa talked about the positive energy people. We've got positive energy. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and 30. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So we see a couple of things tied up in that passage of Scripture as Paul talks to the people that are worshiping idols. He said, No. The God that we served is in the spiritual realm. He is the one that created all the material things. And he says to them something that's still true for us today. Verse 30, he says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. And you say, well, I'm not bowing down to a golden idol or whatnot. Well, maybe not. But if we're going in the opposite direction of God, that's sin. If we're in disobedience, that's sin. And we need to repent. We need to repent. Acts 14, 15, back a couple of pages. Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. Now these are what we're on right now are the things that God has allowed us to see. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. And this is when Paul and Barnabas are being worshipped, or they're trying to worship, and they said they were Zeus, and that because they healed somebody, they thought that they were gods. So then they're going, no, stop. Verse 15, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them. So we see the repenting, the believing, the repenting, and the restarting. Believe, repent, restart. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? we see a change in direction, and we're going to see that more clearly here in the next verse, a change in direction that we're in the carnal realm, we're in the material realm, and then suddenly God takes us and puts us on a different road, a road designed by Him. There's no better place to see this than when Saul, the Apostle Paul, made his amazing turnaround. He went from not believing in Jesus. He believed in God, but he didn't believe in Jesus. And he was pretty adamant about it. And that one is Acts 26:15-18. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" This is after Saul had been knocked off his horse or knocked down on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and Jesus confronted him is what he did, like big time. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister." How many would like to be called into the ministry like that? Well, many have, but I don't think there was much doubt in his mind. "Called you to be a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Now, this verse 18 is plumb packed full of what we've been talking about. To open their eyes, this is what Jesus is sending Paul to do, same as our commission, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's in a nutshell right there, all that we're talking about, especially when we say to open their eyes. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Verse 16 of Matthew, back to the text again, Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." It's kind of heaven's code. You know, you heard of the different thing, like the Da Vinci Code and all these kind of things. There's supposed to be some secret, you know, that you can unravel and get the mysteries of the universe and all this stuff. Well, this is heaven's code, being able to understand. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. I like this portion of scripture because it explains an awful lot when we're struggling to understand. Verse 6, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." You look at your neighbor and say, "You look like a wise guy or a girl," depending on what it is. You know? Now, I'm trying to build you up this morning so that you understand your special place in this world. And I'm not talking about just you people here at Calvary, again. I'm talking about the Christians, true Christians as a whole. Let's do this again. Verse 6. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age." The wisdom of this age brought us evolution. Now that's bright. "Nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Verse 8, "which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, I have not seen, or ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who," what? "Love Him." There is the key to all of this. What do you have to do to receive the wisdom of heaven? What do you have to do? You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Before you do that, your spiritual eyes are pretty much closed. We see it all over. If you read the New Testament and you say, "Well, I'm going to read through the New Testament And as I go through the New Testament, I'm going to look just at the cases where it talks about being able to see spiritually or being able to understand or be able to hear spiritually. And you'll be amazed at how many times the Bible tells us about our spiritual understanding versus the world that doesn't have that option. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. We've got two keys here. Love Him. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are blessed with His Holy Spirit to come and reside inside of us. And that is the key that opens up our spiritual vision. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Last week we talked about that very same thing. We have our own private little world in our thoughts. The only one that knows is God. But this is saying, not only does God know our thoughts, we know God's thoughts. Is that cool? That's a two-way thing. Here we thought He was just spying on us, and He's really communicating with us. Right? God wants to, He wants to have an impact on us. Verse 11 again. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which is the carnal, the world, the flesh, all this stuff, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Of all the riches in the world, Solomon had it all. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book to read. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And I love it when he says, you can live your vain life. Truth of the matter is, in the end, he says, the key to it all is to follow the Lord's commandments, obey the Lord. Love the Lord is what the key is. None of the rest of it really matters. So what I'm saying is, we have this valuable knowledge that is worth more than anything else that money can buy or any possession in the world, and that's the knowledge that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins and to bring us to Himself and take us to heaven with Him. Now, the Bible says it's people that don't understand that think it's foolishness, but it's the wisdom of heaven. You feeling smarter yet? You have that knowledge. Now, what do we do with it? In the last 2 minutes, I'll just remind you that we have it, we know it, we understand it as far as God wants us to understand it enough. We have within our grasp, within our possession, the greatest gift you could give to anyone, and that is to share Jesus Christ with them. You could give them $10 million. Have you ever heard the statistics of what happens to lottery winners? In about 3 years, they're broke. Why? Boy, you'd have to really go on a shopping spree, wouldn't you? But you give them Jesus, and they're rich for eternity. Is that cool? Hallelujah. So you're smarter than you think you are. You're wiser, and you carry a very, very valuable knowledge with you. And by the way, you say, well, how in the world can I ever talk somebody into getting saved? Well, you know that's not your job. You preach the truth, the Holy Spirit will do to them what He did to you. And He's good at what He does. Amen? Wait, think about it. Jesus had 12 disciples. He walked around over there in the desert in Israel. And we're still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ today around the world. Why? The Holy Spirit does a good job. And we need to let Him use us for that. Now, not only does God know your thoughts, we know God's thoughts because the Holy Spirit helps us in that department. You are smarter than you thought you were. We're going to close with prayer. Perhaps there's someone here that would say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you wouldn't raise your hand, you wouldn't respond to this unless the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart. I can't persuade anybody to get saved, but the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart can convince you that He is true and faithful. And you would lift your hand and say, Pastor Ed, would you pray for me? I would like to give my life to Christ. I'd like to know that when I'd like to know when this life is over, that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven and not in that other place, hell. Anybody? Slip your hand up. I'll know who to pray for. You can slip it up and put it down again. All right, second thing. Perhaps the devil has tried to confuse you. Perhaps he's beaten you down and tried to steal your ability to be able to spread the gospel and share the gospel because you didn't feel like you had what it takes to be able to do it. Perhaps the devil is trying to push you back and into a closet and shut the door on you, and you're going to break out and get all over the unsaved people. You know what I mean? And if that's you this morning, you say, I just pray for me so I can break out of this closet so that I can be used. What I have. See that hand. See that hand and that hand, that hand, that hand and that hand, that hand. See that hand. You can put them down again. See that hand. We're going to have some new people in church next Sunday. See that hand. You can put it down. That'll be good. That'll be good. And it won't be me. And it won't be you. It'll be the Holy Spirit using you to do what He's called you to do. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you. You have spoken to the hearts of many people here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that they would sense that wisdom and your Spirit driving it in their hearts and in their lives. And Lord, that they would just step out and share that greatest story ever told, that greatest gift ever given with someone around them. And Lord, may they be amazed as they watch the Holy Spirit do a work in someone's heart. For Lord, you said you're not willing that any should perish, that any should miss heaven. Well, neither are we. So Lord, I pray that you would use us. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.